Welcome back, community group leaders, to this week's episode of the Deeper Podcast, where we partner with you as you grow closer to God, His Word, and people. I'm your host, Cody Leekan, joined here with Joe Hishma.
Hey, everyone. Good to be with you this week.
Awesome, Joe. So this week, we are wrapping up, sadly, the Everything Principles series. So from your seat on the bus, what have you seen and kind of experienced from this series? We've had a lot. There's been a big box truck out in front of the church almost every week. It's been kind of crazy.
Yeah, so I've seen people responding, and people responding in, being the church and showing up and being generous and getting experience and some reps in how many times you've given and how many things you've given. I've seen parents sharing this with their children and their children catching the value of generosity from small to older children. I mean, that's been really good. I also have had some really good conversations with people who hadn't seen it necessarily that way or haven't seen the need here as vibrantly as they do now. And so that's been just really good to share the vision. And in all of this, it's easy to get nervous and anxious about what are people going to do. But really, I've gotten good at just preaching the word, praying for the Spirit to work, and just watching God work in His people here. So that's been really encouraging to me.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah.
So we're wrapping up with furniture this week. What was your little quip about cats? You want cats on the furniture?
No, we said if as long as a cat doesn't die on it, we'll take it.
Oh.
Okay, but that
what am I supposed to do with all of these cats?
I think I said that too many times, and people are just repeating that joke to me right
now. But yes, can't wait to see how that one comes out or hear about it, because mostly the call is to go right to the place instead of bringing it here.
That's right.
Really awesome.
Yep.
So we're wrapping it up. That means we're starting something new, because we're not just going to close down and stop.
That's
so we're
starting
something new. You're calling the series Deep Love.
Yes.
And Jeremy's kicking that weekend off for that first
week. That's right, first week in April.
What can we kind of expect from this one? So we had generosity. So what's next?
Yeah, this one is really a picture of loving the Lord your God with all your heart and your soul and your might, and then loving your neighbor as yourself. What does it look like to move beyond the pattern of this world of loving people just like you and people who think like you and believe like you and act like you? If you look at the division in this country and in the church, a lot of those decisions are being made on who is thinking like me. And we build tribes, and we've never had more resources to build small tribes of people who are just like us.
Yeah.
And if there was no God and there was no Jesus who loved us and lived and died and rose for us, I would say that's a fairly normal thing to get wrapped up into. But if you're a Christ follower, we just don't have that privilege. That's not something that would embrace Jesus. Think about how different He is from us in so many ways. Yeah. And yet He chose to love us. And so as we look at this for the upcoming week, we're going to be looking at beneath the veneer, deepening a love for people around you. And hopefully what I pray is that God would give us a greater capacity to love our neighbors and love each other well.
Yeah. How fitting Easter falls right in on that. And that's
right.
Message that Jesus sent on the cross to us of how much He loved us. So
that's right.
It's going to be a good series. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it too.
Yep. So back to this week, going to the parable of, which parable is that again? That's the parable of
the prodigal son.
Prodigal son. That's where we're focusing. But we didn't start that way. We started with the feeding of the 4,000, the other miraculous feeding that we see.
Yes.
And this week's passage fell on Wednesday. So normally the passage is closer to the end of the week. And so if you're like me, you're probably going to want to refresh yourself on the passage before group, because it might be over a week before you make it there.
That's right.
But yes, so this week's passage we hit on Wednesday. There's kind of three miracles or three parables there.
That's right.
Sorry, parables. Three parables there. Can you kind of paint a picture of where you're going and what's that going to look like?
Yeah, so Luke 15 is really God's heart for the lost. And when Jesus is shown there, he's seeing that the lost, the tax collectors and the sinners, and that was a stereotype by a Jewish religious leaders who would just lump in all unrighteous people into tax collectors because they compromised with Rome and no longer pursued a nation of Israel. And so they were the ones who were the outsiders, and they They were the wealthy ones because they also were corrupt and they stole money and skimmed off the top.
Yep.
But then there's sinners, and those could be people in the prostitution ring. Those could be people who are just the cast outs of, and even criminals of society that were drawing near to Jesus. And one of the things we need to realize is Jesus didn't say, you don't have to change. I just accept people right where they're at, and they don't have to stop from doing that. You will see him teaching repentance to everyone who came to him. And that goes for the person who was caught in the grips of prostitution or tax collecting, as well as someone who was caught in the grips of self-righteousness and a prideful living, being a follower of God through Old Testament obedience to the law. And so Jesus is going to call everyone into that. And here he's really showing his heart for the lost and the celebration of heaven and the direction of heaven right now is that heaven rejoices when one sinner repents. And that's the message that we carry the gospel with. That's the in this season of human history, as we wait for the return of Jesus Christ, we are people then who live just like Jesus did, who live to seek and save those who were lost.
Yeah, such a great reminder that Jesus does seek out that one lost person, like leaving the sheep and looking
that's
for the
right.
coin. You know, I feel like I can often forget about that story or overlook it because I've been a believer for more than a couple days, you know? And so being reminded of that this week was really good. It was really good to be like, yeah, back when before I was saved, that's where God came and he came and rescued me. And so how cool is it that he's still doing that?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay. So this week's passage, what does it teach us about the heart of Christ?
Okay, so there's three points about the heart of Christ. First one is it has significance. It gives significant value to the lost. When Jesus talks about the lost sheep or the lost coin or the lost son, if you go, he doubles down on the lost son because that's where all the emotion is in this story.
Yeah.
You can lose a sheep, it's just property, right? You can lose a coin, it's just property. But we're talking about a son, a precious, priceless child. Yeah. And when that child chooses to walk away from you, that's the whole picture that he's saying. This is significant. I will move beyond my reputation. I'll move beyond the social norms or values of my life, and I'll go after that son. And then the second thing is there will be a sacrifice. It'll cost us that. It'll cost us something to reach the lost.
Yeah.
And that was the heart of Jesus, who cost him his life to give his life as a ransom for many. And as you look at that, that's something it's all going to require us. And as I've been involved in ministry, it all requires sacrifice. Money, to be real honest with you, money is a small sacrifice to reach the lost. Usually it's a reputation or the construct of your image that you're trying to build that you feel if I share Jesus with someone, they're going to reject me or I won't climb the corporate ladder or I'll be seen as a religious fanatic. It's going to cost that. There's going to be a reputation on the line and you have to make a decision. Is it going to be about my reputation or the reputation of a God of grace who in Christ came and lived and died and rose for me? And then there's celebration. The kingdom of God really is a party. It's a celebration of the lost finding God. It's a celebration of someone who was dead in their sins, who's now alive to God in Christ. And so that's the heart of God in his church and in this world. It's to be people who, when our culture has basically devalued the humanness of life and has emphasize the individual significance of yourself, and it's turned in and now imploding on itself, Jesus is restoring a sense of dignity and value in everyone, in every human being whom he's crafted and created in his image. And so he wants to show us that, and we have to be people who align to the heart of God. If we don't, it's just going to be about us.
Yeah. Awesome. So what else from your time of study did you come across that would be helpful for understanding this passage or just helpful for even growing in a little bit of trivia knowledge that can help us better understand the scriptures?
One of the great resources out there, and I've read through it, but I didn't go into it at all, was just Alfred Edersheim's book. It's a massive book. It's called The Life and Times of Jesus the Messiah. And he has a whole section there on the scribes and the Pharisees, how they did life, how all of their rituals and all of their routines were around the Word of God, protecting it, transferring it to the next generation unscathed, I mean, without any errors in it. And they were around it. They memorized it. And yet their hearts were far from God. This is not to say that Bible study is not important.
Right.
But it is to say that the focus of all of our Bible study and all of our time in the Word is so that it would deepen our knowledge and love of God, to love Him and to love our neighbors as ourselves. And so that's what I've seen, and that's what I didn't get into a ton of in this. If you get an opportunity, Alfred Edersheim's book is massive. However, it's actually outside of the scriptures. It's been one of the best books that has given me the cultural background to the Bible that I've ever read. It's written in the early 1900s, so you're going to have a little bit of the old English in the mix of it.
Some these and thys?
Yes, or hithertos if you're not careful.
Oh,
yes,
okay.
That's where you're going. However, Edersheim traveled back to Palestine during that time. And a lot of those places had not been touched since the time of Christ.
Whoa.
And so you still had Bedouin tribes living in the area, and you still had these smaller cities that Jesus lived and worked and went in. And so he could make these observations and write them down and have meaning to what the gospel writers talked about.
Wow, that's really cool.
Yeah.
I'll put a link to that book in the email.
Yep.
So if you can send me that, we'll get that going, because that sounds like a really good, really awesome book.
Yeah.
Could take a minute to read through, because it's going to be, sounds pretty thick.
Or two.
Or two.
Yes.
2 minutes?
That's
okay.
Great. Yes.
2 minutes tops. We got that.
Okay.
All right. So, Joe, this first question is in reference to the parable of the prodigal son, and it's considering, like, where do we fit in the story? Which son are we going to most identify with? So, the prodigal son or the prideful one who's at the end is like, well, Dad, you never gave me even a little lamb for my friends. But yet this guy who just like slapped you in the face comes back and is like, hey, you throw a big feast. Like, what's the deal?
Yeah. So I've heard it said that we're either rebels or we're self-righteous. Those are our tendencies when we live on the dark side of each of us.
Yeah.
So the rebel is, no one will tell me what to do. I'm pursuing the free life. It's just me and God, and I'm pedal to the metal on pleasure and joy and life and whatever makes me happy, because God is in it all. And I don't need the church. I don't need authority. I can just be my own person. God is love. He would never confront evil. I mean, we have this picture in the prodigal.
Yeah.
We want the things of God, but we don't want God. The prodigal wanted the things of his father, but they didn't want a relationship with his father anymore.
Mm-mm.
And so he'd rather walk away with what were the fathers. And so, you know, we're going to have a tendency towards that in life. And what the prodigal shows us is that just doesn't work. It doesn't, it promises something it cannot deliver. If you just have freedom as your major value of your life, you're going to rarely sacrifice for anyone. You're going to rarely have a difficult conversation with anyone. You're just going to cancel and walk. And that's going to be a sector of your life. And it's a sector of people with or without God who are living life the way they want to. And then that second group is the prideful son, the one who is a quick eye to people who are not righteous or people who are not like them. And they're quick to point it out, and they're quick to stay away and separate. And so the more there's disagreement, there's more separation. The more there's question, there's more story is written. The prideful son said, he squandered your possessions on with prostitutes. Well, the story doesn't even say the guy was with prostitutes. He said reckless living, but
right.
the prideful son actually wrote a story that was worse than perhaps really what happened.
Yeah.
Because that's what we do when we're more self-righteous. We write a story that they're evil and we're good. And I'll be real honest, if I have a tendency, I'm going to be more towards that prideful son, the one who is faithful, the one who put their time in, the one who the father owes, you know, because they have remained loyal to you, and the one who's quick to point out the flaws in the people around me. I wish I wasn't that way. And thankfully, because of the power of Jesus in my life and the role of the Holy Spirit convicting me of sin and my selfishness, I am better than I was, but I still have a long way to go. So those are that's where I'm at on that. Where are you on the two sons?
I really related to kind of both of them. Okay. The prideful part of wanting that vengeance of like, oh, well, they messed up. They left. Come on, Dad. Like, we got, go get them. Get them. Yes. You know, that mentality. And the other part of it is that independence, that wanting to, like, think I could do this. Like, yeah. I'm good enough. I'm strong enough. I'm quick enough that I can be the one to go through with this. And so I kind of sit with both of those as the identifier of, like, if I'm not careful, those kind of both pull out.
Sure. Yep.
So the last question we've got for today.
Okay.
Kind of a big, kind of a little ambiguous, but kind of just a big question is, what if we were a generous generation?
Yeah, I really dream of that as a pastor, because as one of my roles is to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. And as I think about knowing the condition of our flock here at Fellowship, we have a sleeping giant. Hmm. We have a sleeping giant, and that is people who have been blessed with resources that in many cases are not giving. Hmm. And so I always pursue that. And the truth about it is it's not that the church or God loses out. It's more that we lose out when we refuse to give, or we don't give significant in relationship to how much we make. We give, you know, pennies on the dollar to that.
Yeah.
I think it really, we miss out of the greater picture of what happens when we're in a generous spirit. And I really do think that money can make a difference, but we know that only God can transform, okay? And so we use the things that money can buy to help us promote the things and to build our lives on the things money could never buy. And so when we give, we transfer what's physical into the eternal, and God does that. So to me, I just look, this is a great opportunity as a church to have a defining moment. And I also look forward to the future when Christ returns and we will truly see what lasts forever. And we will see the value of everything that we gave to the Lord. We will see its investment in eternity.
Yeah.
And I don't want people to have, I know we're not going to have eternal regrets. I just don't want to waste what God has given us here on things that money could never, and things that money, you know, could never buy. I would want us to take it, invest heavily in the kingdom of God, and call everyone into generosity.
Yeah. It's been huge for me in just wrestling with that 1%.
Yeah.
Like, will I really miss it? Well, there's part of me that's like, well, yeah.
Sure.
Like, that's 1%. Like, that's that adds up.
Yes.
Pennies a day or dollars a day, whatever it might be, but at just wrestling through, like, okay, well, is that, what am I going to invest it in? Something here, an extra coffee a week? Like, is that really going to make a difference? But if I invest it into the kingdom of God, how much more is that going to just expound? Because even if I put it into a savings account or something, like, it's not going to gain enough interest as to what it would if it was going into the kingdom.
That's right.
So
that's right.
That's where I've been wrestling with it.
Everything on an investment has a, you know, future value. And all I'm saying is that an eternal future value will be priceless. And we will look back on this and go, oh my goodness, I had no idea, but isn't it great that God did it with this? And I think that's what I'm here to help people do, is to prepare them for the next life. And that next life, money will pave streets. It just will not have the value or tug that it has on us here.
Such a crazy
concept. So what lasts forever?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Awesome. So before we close out, is there anything else that you wanted to add for the leaders when they're preparation for groups this week?
Yeah, so leaders, let me see, especially not like I haven't been speaking to you all along, but more specifically in your time, whenever we talk about giving, anything that involves money or resources, people get nervous, heart rates go up. That's a very normal response. And I want to let you know I'm praying for you as you share your own life with this, but I also want to relieve you of a responsibility. It is not up to you to get your small group to give. It's up to the Holy Spirit to move in their hearts. So all you can do is share the word, process it through your life, and just ask everyone to just, that's why we're asking everyone to pray, and as God leads them, decide on an amount, set it up, and celebrate, and just follow this whole picture of the scriptures so far, that it is better to give than to receive, and God loves a cheerful giver, so we want to do that with joy.
Yeah, key is finding the joy in that.
That's right.
But yes, awesome. Right. Well, thank you so much for that. Will you pray for us as we go about this week?
I'd love to. Heavenly Father, we thank you for having a heart, for giving significance to lost people. I think as we follow you and we learn more about you, it's easier to see and be more moved by the evil of this world. And yet you were able to navigate through the evil of this world to show that you loved and to seek and to save the lost. May you give us a heart for that. May you give us a profound significance for people who don't know you. May you give us a willingness to sacrifice, that we would sacrifice not for this world, but for the next, and that we would see that people who find you have eternal life in you. And Lord, may you work in our hearts to bring us joy as we do that. Convince us that it's better on the other side of generosity than keeping it and spending it or saving it or stacking it. Whatever our tendency is to do with money, I pray that it would be better in your hands and you would give us joy as we do that. We lift them up to you, each one of these leaders. We thank you for their faithfulness. Bless them and encourage them. It's in Christ's name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Awesome. So I got a little secret for you guys. I will put the link to register for the Seder in the emails. It won't be open until Saturday at service time, but it'll be there for you because you're going to want to register early, because that gives you the highest chance of getting at the table with whoever you're going to be going with, whether that be your whole family or getting your small group together and going at that time. But I envision this going to fill up pretty quickly. So the sooner you can get on that, the more likelihood you have of getting at the table you want. And you'll be able to pick that in the registration and who's sitting there and whatnot. So we've got that coming. And then ShareFest, we also have a link for that now that the website and technical difficulties have been resolved. So
that's good.
We are ready to get registered for that.
Sign up together at a site,
and
we'll take it from there.
Sounds good. Look forward to seeing you guys next week.